Are you here for someone specific?
Yes, I am. For somebody.
What is her name again? I didn't quite.
Ursel Burns, E-R-S-E-L-L-U-R-N-S.
Okay.
He's in Red Rock.
Red Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we haven't done that yet.
Okay, we're not scheduled to go there till 3 o'clock. Okay? But you're more than welcome to stay in there and,
Actually, I'm going to see if I can get one as well.
No, we're recording.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Okay, good afternoon, sir. Can you state your complete name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, my name is Gregory Justin Hardy Jr. And my ADC number is 178118.
Okay, sir, you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency in reference to your community supervision revocation this afternoon. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Louis Canonis, we have the Honorable Michael Johnson, who is the acting board chair, and we have the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today. Prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. Do you remember that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
Representing myself today.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Mr. Turner is new to us here. He has a lot of experience, but new to the boardroom, so if we misspeak his name, we apologize. And I almost did that thing. So anyway, I'm going to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
All right, sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And then in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the one allegation that's on your warrant. And after I read, I'm going to ask you to tell me if it is true or false. And if you say it's false, we'll get more information from Mr. Turner, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Okay.
Allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12K. That is demonstrated by your use of alcohol, ETG, on or about March 8, 2018, per the task lab report dated March 9, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
This is very complicated because it's false. I never even drank alcohol. I drank a cough suppressant that came up dirty for alcohol, so I wasn't drinking alcohol, so I don't know how to answer that.
The thing is that if you drank the cough syrup, it does have alcohol in it. But it's your choice. You can say true or false.
Oh, I did do that, so that's true.
Okay. And then when we go into phase two, you'll have ample opportunity to explain it all, okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, and this is all procedural. Based on the admissions of Mr. Hardy, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent and violated terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or about lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Motion by myself, Mr. Neal, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Ms. Rittenhouse and Mr. Canonis. All right, sir, as we get ready to move into phase two, Mr. Turner is going to give us some background information, and so we want you to stay on the phone, listen, and I'll get back to you in a couple of minutes.
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Okay, Mr. Hardy was released on 7/20 of 17 and arrested on 3/12 of 18 by ADC staff, no new charges. He returned back to DOC on 3/12/18 with his release date remaining 12/20/2018 with no abscondes. Current conviction 2007 count 1, a dangerous drug violation, 10 years. 2007 count 2, dangerous drug violation, 1 year. Prior convictions 2003, count one, negligent homicide, 3 years and 6 months. Also in 2003, count a child slash adult abuse, 2 years, 6 months. 2006, count B, dangerous drug violation, 1 year, 6 months. This is his third term in DOC. He has a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information noted. Prior term on supervision, 2006, he was a TIS release. He completed in 4 months. Disciplinary history is moderate with drugs and violence noted. Other arrest, 1998, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona dismissed. Also in 98, an assault, Arizona dismissed. 1998, possible sale or possession sale of marijuana, Arizona, no charges were filed. 99, drug paraphernalia violation, dismissed. 99, DUI liquor, drugs, vapors, he was fined. And then in 2007, possession of selling narcotics, Arizona, unknown the outcome of that. Other information, he has a score of G4, V4.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Hardy, I'm going to go over a brief summary of your case supervision. So I see that when you were released, you were approved to reside at Steps House for Healing.
Correct.
Did you stay there the entire time that you were on release, sir?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, let's see. Did you have any employment while you were out?
Yes, I did. The day that I was released, if it's okay, I have prepared a little statement that I'd like to read to you guys that would explain my side of the story.
Well, let me go over this
okay.
Summary, and then
give me the floor. The same day that I was released, when I left my parole office at 3:30 p.m. by that 5 p.m. I was already reemployed with the strategic heating and cooling HVAC company. And then the day that I was supposed to come in on the 12th, I was supposed to show my parole officer a pay stub to prove that I was working, but that never got to take place. But yes, I had the same day that I got out of prison was the same day that I got reemployed. And I started working the following Monday.
Okay, sir. Mr. Condonis on the board would like to ask you a question.
Ask our community corrections officer a quick question. Just for clarification, on the ETG for the task testing, that is very specific to beverage alcohol, so to speak, versus medicinal.
Very specific to alcohol.
Not NyQuil. I know I've asked this question before, but I always like clarity on that.
It's the ethanol content.
Yes.
Right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anything he drinks that has alcohol in it, consumable alcohol will show.
Correct. NyQuil, that kind of stuff's not going to do it.
That's what I'm getting at.
I mean, the quantity is what's not enough to trick.
Because it's specific to the ETG test.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, sir. On programming, you were attending mandatory programming at the Steps House for Healing.
Correct.
And you were also referred to the CAPMRT program.
Correct.
And to task for random UAs.
Correct.
And during the time you're out, you only have 2 required drops.
Correct.
And one was on February 21st, 2018, which tested negative for illegal substances and alcohol. And another was on March 8th, 2018, which tested positive for ETG and is listed in this one. Okay. Did you understand that question that was asked of the community corrections people, sir?
No, I did not.
The question was, is that the chemical testing that TASC does is specific for ETG, which is a component of consumable alcohol.
It's not grain out, wood alcohol or anything like that, but primarily grain alcohol. And, but it's consumable by him. And the question was about whether drinking NyQuil or some other such substance that had some alcohol in it would trip the meter, so to speak. And according to the community corrections people, that it is going to be specific, and that the amounts of ETG that might be present in NyQuil wouldn't be enough to show positive in the task results. So that's the information we have, and that's the information we're dealing with. So if you said you wanted to make a statement or read a statement that would explain all of this.
Yes, sir.
If you would like to, now would be a good time to go ahead and do that.
Okay. I would respectfully like to start by apologizing for being here in front of you all. I would like to give thanks to this board for the opportunity to speak and explain why it is I'm here in the first place. But first, I want to give you guys a recap on how serious I took the blessing I was given by this board, which was a second chance to live and show my true worth. I was released by this board on February 16, 2018, which was a Friday. I went to my parole office. I left that parole office around 3:30 p.m., and by 5 o'clock that same day, I was reemployed with the Strategic Heating and Cooling HVAC company. By 7 p.m., I was checked in-house at the Steps House of Healing. That's a 90-day program that requires us to do 60 meetings in 60 days. Now, Monday the 19th, I started my first day on the job. However, without transportation of my own, I was subjected to use a public transportation system. This meant I would have to get up every morning at 3 a.m. to catch the 4 a.m. bus that would proceed to take me to work. I was traveling from 67th Avenue in Glendale to the Loop 101 in Scottsdale Road, which is nearly 20 to 25 miles plus one way. Now, I accomplished this for the first week I was out. The rules at the Steps House required the men residing there to be returned on the premises by no later than 5 p.m. for roll call. After arriving and seeing what the day required of me, there was no way I was able to be back to the Steps House by 5 p.m., not to mention the first day I had a 3:30 appointment with my parole officer, who wasn't there the Friday I was released, but I did make it back around 6 p.m. It should be noted I had to take a few hours off early from work on my first day to comply with my 3:30 p.m. meeting. Once I did get back to the Steps House, I went immediately to the house manager to explain my tardiness. He was fine with it because it was due to my employment and a parole meeting. After a good debate with the house manager, Rod, I was given permission to return late daily. However, one of the stipulations I agreed to, I had to submit to a drug test and a breathalyzer daily upon my return. The house manager also made it a condition that he would give me alternating breathalyzers, meaning I would agree to... He could give me a breathalyzer any time from when I returned home from work until the time I left to go to work the next day. After about a week of working and taking the bus back and forth, I was able to make accommodations with a co-worker and was able to provide myself with transportation other than the city bus. I still wasn't able to return back to the Steps House by 5 due to working from 6 a.m. in the morning to 4:30 p.m. The ride home on a regular vehicle was about an hour and 15 minutes due to the heavy traffic of rush hour. For the first time in my life, I actually felt happy, and I felt free. I felt free in part from my past, but mainly free from my addictive thinking. And for the first time, I actually found solitude in my 12-step meetings and my counseling that was required by the parole department. I used these meetings as a foundation that would guide me towards a lifetime of sobriety. I took to the 12-step meetings, I believe, because of the amazing stories each individual would tell. It showed me that no matter how big a trial or tribulation, maybe one could conquer their addiction within the fellowship of others who have walked in their shoes. Every day, I would talk at length with my now 15-year-old daughter and would FaceTime her nightly after my meetings. I found I was growing strength in the fact that my daughter would proudly express how proud she was of me for actually caring and wanting to fight. For 3 weeks, I maintained my employment and my programming and found a way for the two of them to coexist. I would work a 10-hour day, Monday through Saturday, and I would go to a meeting every night. However, on Sundays, I would go to 3 meetings, one from 9 to 11 a.m., one from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., and a house meeting from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Each day in every meeting, I found myself a little bit more at peace, knowing I was another step closer to living a clean life. Just to prove how important my sobriety was to me, about a week into my stay at the Steps House, my roommate would openly smoke heroin in front of me. and I would tell him each time to stop doing it, that he is jeopardizing the stability of everyone around him, including myself. I would tell him that through his selfish behavior, he was not only disrespecting everyone, but also placing us all in danger of a potential relapse. I didn't know what to do. I wrestled with it, and I talked to my daughter, and she finally told me to tell on him. And she said if I loved her, I wouldn't worry about being a snitch, and I would protect my own freedoms by telling the manager what was taking place. I asked him one last time to stop, and he refused, and I was left with no other option but to have him talk with the house manager. After my conversation with the manager, he was given a drug test, and he failed, and he was immediately kicked out of the Steps house. I called my daughter and explained how I felt responsible for him getting kicked out and potentially getting sent back to prison. She told me she loved me and was proud of me for doing the right thing.
Okay,
all
sir,
that I knew...
Sir?
Yes.
All right. I don't want to seem like I'm trying to curtail your due process, but...
I was just arranging to get the violation.
Well, we really need to get to the violation.
That's
the explanation of the violation, explanation of why you had ETG in your...
Right, right. The very next sentence was getting to that.
Okay.
Okay, now as to my current violation, Monday the 6th of March, I began to catch a cold, and I thought nothing of it. I thought I could push through it. Wednesday the 8th, when I was at my 90 meeting, I ended up throwing up everywhere, and I was close to passing out. I was given permission to leave that meeting early. The bus driver that took us there drove me back, and when he went back to the meeting, I gave him $20, he bought me some cough syrup, and he bought me some Tylenol. That's exactly what I did. I popped Tylenol and took NyQuil throughout the night to get some much-needed rest. The next day, I took off from work, and I laid in bed and just rested. I called TAF, seeing my color hit. I waited until someone got back, was able to drive me to drop my UA, all along taking NyQuil and popping Tylenol. I went in UA and I never thought nothing of it. The next day, which was Friday, I went to work. Reluctantly, it was payday. I called urgent care and I made an appointment from Monday the 12th since I was already taking that day off to meet with my code officer since it was my monthly meeting, which was at 11. I made the appointment for 4 o'clock that same day. The Sunday before that night, I had stood up in front of my meeting and I took my 3-month shift from remaining clean for the last 3 months. In about a half hour, I told them my life story. It was amazing, but it was also awkward due to my voice crackling. I had lost my voice. After that meeting, a young man named Xavier, he came up to me and explained how his brother was recently murdered by my family.
So
he hit it off.
Sir,
yes.
Okay, we need to get to a violation. And so I'm going to ask you some questions about the violation, okay?
Okay.
How much NyQuil did you consume?
He brought me a bottle. I gave him $20. He bought Tylenol and a bottle of NyQuil.
Okay.
Within a 2-day period, I drank that whole bottle of NyQuil.
Okay, but the whole bottle, how big is the whole bottle? Is it 2 ounces or 20 ounces?
I don't know.
There's how much beer they had, they said they'd say 2. Let me ask them a little bit further, and that was 2 quarts, not 2
cups. I understand, sir. I don't know the exact ounces, but it was a medium-sized bottle. It wasn't a huge bottle. It wasn't a small bottle.
So it was about 8 ounces.
It was a medium-sized bottle, probably so, 8 to 10. The day that I got to Alhambra, they seemed that I was sick, and I had brought you guys all this medication here, where they gave me 2 antibiotics.
Okay, I'm going to break and ask the corrections officers another question about the ETG.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Saunders.
Oh, he's an expert too? Good. I'm glad that.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir.
On the NyQuil issue, is the ETH part of the alcohol, is that something that is not included in any of the cough syrups and stuff like that, or is it just a matter of quantity?
Yeah, go ahead and answer.
Okay.
Mr. Sanders, I'll answer this. I swear to tell the truth. The ethyl glucloride showing positive at 500 nanograms per milliliter is not conducive with an 8-ounce bottle of NyQuil. If taken as prescribed, there is not enough alcohol content in a bottle of NyQuil to produce a positive effect for 500 nanograms per milliliter, especially for the ETG, the ethyl glucoride, which is the specific alcohol content in spirits.
Okay, well that's That's the question. I mean, it's been a long time since I had to deal with people that were, you know, kids that were doing NyQuil and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't buy alcohol.
Not saying it's not used for that, but to produce a level of 500 nanograms per milliliter, it would be a case of NyQuil.
Right, right, right. That was the point. That's the point I wanted to kind of narrow down. I knew exactly what you were saying, but I didn't know exactly what you were saying. Okay. So, sir, back to this. So you say overnight you consumed that bottle that may have been as much as 10 ounces?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, the best information I can get, and part of this is based on many years' experience in law enforcement, is that one 8-ounce bottle, 10-ounce bottle, 20-ounce bottle of NyQuil isn't going to give the type of reading that TASC looks for. There's a margin, not of error, but of acceptance. So you can have marijuana show up in your bloodstream, but if it's below a certain amount, they overlook it and it's not on the report. And it's the same thing with the or the ETG that they're looking for in the alcohol. So, I don't know. I mean, based on the information I have, there's an indication that there was something more than just NyQuil consumed.
And I understand. Go ahead.
Okay, so, but you're saying that that's why, that you consumed on the 6th?
It would have been, I UA'd on the 9th, I believe, and it was, I drank that on the 7th, the 8th, or the 8th and the 9th.
So you consume that over a two-day period?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The 8th and the 9th.
You know, you realize that once you drink it, it starts metabolizing almost immediately. And
I don't know what that means, sir.
That means that your body eats it up and destroys it, and it's less and less the amount of alcohol or heroin, if you use heroin or any kind, even a legal drug, anything like that, it's got a lifetime in your system. When it hits your system, it metabolizes, and some things are converted to other things so they can be disposed of by your body. And some things, when they metabolize, they go into your bloodstream to go into your organs or tissues or wherever it's meant to go. And over a period of time, the amount that's in your bloodstream that's tested diminishes. And it's like if you go out drinking beer, there's a certain amount of intake. You know, you can chug down 6 beers in 5 minutes, but it takes quite a while for all of that alcohol to hit your system because your stomach has to process, your body has to process. But once it's in, your body processes back out. And it varies depending on how much you eat and the exercise and everything else. But the point being, if you had even a 20-ounce bottle of NyQuil and you took over 24 hours to consume it, then the effect of the whole 20 ounces is never going to be there because you don't have it all in your system at once. And what you take in initially is metabolized out by the time you're finishing off the bottle. So my point is that I find it somewhat circumspect as to your explanation of why you had alcohol show up in your TASC report.
I completely understand that, sir, but I did not drink. I wasn't getting high and I didn't drink.
Well, we're not talking about it.
I was being breathalyzed daily upon my return at any time from when I left.
So were you breathalyzed the day that you had the positive UA?
I was at the house the whole day. I didn't have to leave. You know, if I left and went to work and I came back later than 5 o'clock and everybody was supposed to be there for roll call,
right,
I got UA.
Just like drugs, alcohol is available in a halfway house if you want it.
Of course there was.
That's, if you're trying to stay sober, that's all I'm asking. So you didn't have a VA at the house on the day that you dropped, but if you had to leave the house to drop for a UA.
Absolutely. If I left and went to work and I showed up later than 5 o'clock every single day that I did that, Monday through Saturday, I was UA'd and I was breathalyzed, which all came up clean from the house.
Okay. So, well, but what about the day after you dropped?
Yes.
Yes.
I was. Yes, I was. Friday when I came back, I was. Saturday, Sunday, yes.
Okay, but Saturday you were what?
Saturday?
The day after you dropped the UA, you were what? You had a BA?
No. There's not. Yeah, I had a BA, but it never came up dirty.
Well, the next day it's not going to. It's going to metabolize out really quickly. Unlike hard drugs, alcohol really doesn't take a long time to get out of your system. Okay, sir, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Okay,
sir. We're nearing the end of your hearing. I did want to go over one thing. So you'd been out on the lease and you got violated, and then the board put you back out, right?
Yes, sir.
What were you violated for the first time?
Drugs.
Okay. All right, thanks, sir. We're nearing the end of your hearing at this time, and the board will go into discussion, make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. But before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. But we ask that you don't repeat yourself with information that you've already given us. Just any new information you think might be relevant to the violation in question.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir. I still have my job, which is heating and cooling. I have been in contact when I was out there with RSI, which is the refrigeration school that specializes in heating and cooling. And at the end of May, I was to come and discuss with him about getting financial aid so I can get my HVAC certifications. I still have strong family support. I have all my counseling, my 12-step program out there waiting. Since I've been in prison, I've went to NA and AA meetings. I find that the men in here, they don't have the passion or the zeal. They're not zealous about the meetings as they are as men and women are on the streets. As you guys could all see, I had a drug problem. I don't have a drug problem. I wasn't getting high. I have everything going for me out there. I was actually living and not living in contact, having the mind frame of being living in the captivity. I don't want to be prey to recidivism. And I just ask that you guys allow me to prove that I'm worthy of this thing that we call life. Okay. I'm working. I'm doing my programming. I can do this.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
3 weeks I was out, I was doing that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. The board will be going to the discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. So we just ask that you stay on the phone, but remain silent, and we'll make a decision, and I'll get back to you. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the board is now in discussion. This is unfortunate. He was doing a lot of the right things, but it's only been since February that he had his hearing and was released, and it wasn't a month in there was a problem with the NyQuil. I remember in days past how sick some kids got because they drank so much NyQuil, because one of the ones they had drank so much to do that, it made them sick to their stomach. Based on what I know about TASC and the way their system works for reporting this type of stuff and then the information that Mr. Saunders was able to supply, I just don't see him as a good candidate for to be returned to community supervision at this time. But I want to listen to anything that any of my fellow board members might like to discuss. Okay. All right, so based on all the information in warrant number 2018W0746, Mr. Hardy's testimony from Department of Corrections and the additional information. In our discussion, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Hardy as he was delinquent, violated terms, conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or company. specifically consumption of alcohol enough to show up on a task report.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, Mr. Moore, seconded by Mr. Rittenhouse, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Canone. Okay, so the board has voted to revoke your committee supervision at this time. We do want to, you know, wish you luck. We don't want to see you have to stay in the Department of Corrections any longer than necessary, but the issue with the alcohol and the fact that you have been reinstated to community supervision by the board less than a month before that UA caused you problems, we've voted to revoke your community supervision. There's programming, and you can continue to at least go to meetings for AA and even NA in most yards in the prison. We suggest that during your remaining time, you make a plan so that when you get out, you can keep avoiding drugs, avoid alcohol, and continue with your life and hopefully be a complete success once you're released. So, you understand, sir?
I do understand, but the only thing I don't understand is I already did my whole 10 years. I've done 100% of my time.
Okay,
I appreciate you guys' decision.
Listen to me, sir. As far as your time goes, the board has absolutely nothing to do with or any control over time computation. If you have a question about how much time you're serving and how much time you have to serve, anything with your CO3, and they can whatever it takes to get a reading from time comp as to what the exact date is. The dates we deal with are what's on the paperwork we're given. And I guarantee they're not 100% accurate, but they're pretty much on the mark. But if you have a question about it, you need to take it up with time comp, not us, okay?
Because I understand. I'm sorry. I apologize. I appreciate you guys' time, man.
We do wish you luck, and maybe there was a major mistake in your time comp, and you don't have near as much time left.
Well, I was doing 10 flat, and I just don't understand why I'm doing 12.
I don't have a triple master's degree, so I don't understand
the
competition very well. It's a lot's been explained to me, but I still don't understand it. So this is your hearing, sir, and we thank you for appearing today, and we do wish you luck, and please put the CO3 back on the phone.
Yep, here it is.